Awesome. Cool. We actually spoke down at the spotlight screening at the premiere. Yeah. It was afterwards. I guess before we dive into all this, let's do a postmortem on that. So that went on to win Best Picture.
It did pretty well for itself.
But then here we are a year later, and now everyone's talking fake news, and then journalism's coming back and holding people accountable now. So where do you sort of stand post spotlight?
As an old Baltimore Sun guy yourself.
I mean. Certainly, if you were a journalist and you were having an existential crisis over the revenue stream and over all the losses that journalism had suffered, this last election cycle has proved the need for you. Now, whether or not that translates into a revenue stream is still a long, hard fight, because the problems are still the problems in terms of the product and where the money comes from now with the internet. But it's pretty apparent that the amateur hour won't work.
Right.
That the unaccredited, I'll say what I want and you figure out whether it's true or not version of the online news element is flawed.
Yeah.
And that you actually need news organizations. You need people accredited. You need people accountable. You need the work to be sourced. And all the people who said it was going to be the amateur hour and everyone was going to be a citizen journalist, they kind of look like jerks right now. Or they look like jerks or Russian bots, one of the two. So.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into the reason we're actually here. Talk about, before we get into the festival itself, but just the fact that this theater's back here. I think I heard you talking with John Waters. Did I hear him say that he saw Psycho down the street? Or do you ever remember coming up here? I mean, from D.C.
No, you got to remember, not to that extent, because to me, I grew up in D.C. The Silver Theater, which is now AFI, was my local theater. If you wanted to see stuff on a big screen when I was a kid, you went to the Uptown in D.C. I got here in 83, so you want to talk to somebody about what was around here filming? You know, talk to Barry, talk to John.
But just in general, it's still as a generally local guy growing up around here. I mean, and obviously your shows are set up here, Wire and Homicide and stuff. Just what does it mean to have an old historic theater back open in Baltimore?
Oh, and this as a venue, this is excellent because, first of all, this area is sort of the home base of the film festival. And has been for years now. This is incredibly valuable property for as a venue, just for independent filmmakers and for young filmmakers to get their work shown. I mean, it's hard to get into theaters, and art houses are essential for that. Baltimore just acquired a top-flight art house here. Not to mention, it's a venue for educational stuff, for training crew, for getting people engaged in an industry that, let's face it, it's one of the few growth industries left in this country, and jobs matter, and this is a clean industry. So I'm elated that Jed and the Producers Club and the Film Festival, they all brought it through. It's really been it's been a long haul for them, and I'm very proud.
You mentioned local filmmakers, and it's hard for them to get their work seen. What advice do you have for them? If there's any of our listeners that are maybe aspiring filmmakers or local film students or whatever, you know, what's the most common mistake you see them make, and how can they actually break through being an East Coast filmmaker?
You know, I'm a terrible person to ask for that because my path to being a television writer and producer was really improbable. It came off of prose work that I did that Barry Levinson bought. And then they filmed it in my town, and I learned how to do it through a back door, really. I didn't go to film school. I didn't know which end of the camera was which to begin with. So I'm really a terrible person. When people come to me and say, how do I get into the movie business? I'm like, if I ever figure it out, I'll let you know. But I'm not being flippant. I would say one of the things is just to do it. There is so much now in terms of video. There's less that's required now, technically, and in terms of equipment, to go out and to tell a film narrative. Certainly to create your first short or something, and to get on the, to try to get onto the festival circuit. It used to be you needed a darkroom, you needed to cut film, you needed to videotape, and and the digital abilities that come with that have really made it possible for people to dive in. And, you know, you can do the stuff you can do on a laptop now is extraordinary.
Final question. Got to ask you about The Wire. What arguably my favorite show of all time. How are you able to create so many? I mean, there's probably 24 characters that all get equal screen time that they're just lodged in our brains like decades later. I mean, what's the secret to giving them the right amount of time but also be able to build those arcs? I mean, there's so many great characters.
I don't know. I don't know why it has resonance. Honestly, it's not even the most... I'm proud of it. It turned out very well, I think. But it wasn't even the most... how should I say it? In terms of execution, there are other things I've done where I thought it were turned out much more precise.
Which were some of those things?
I thought Generation Kill was in terms of execution. But I guess The Wire went on for 60 hours, and people became accustomed to the world and the characters, and it found some zeitgeist. But I don't know. You know, we did the best we could. We always do the best we can.
Well, keep doing the best you can.
Yeah,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Good seeing you again.
You too.